The Haines Assembly will hear an appeal for a private heliport permit near Chilkat Lake Road. And what does the appointment of a new state representative mean for a local politician? It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday agreed to hear an appeal by a local company wanting to establish a private heliport near Chilkat Lake Road. Big Salmon Ventures is planning an eco-lodge for its property near Eagle Vista Subdivision on Chilkat Lake Road. Since the neighborhood is zoned general use, the company doesn't need a permit for a lodge, but it does need a conditional use permit for the heliport it wants to construct on the property to offer heli-skiing trips directly from the lodge. The Haynesboro Planning Commission recently denied that permit request after a two-hour-long discussion and comments from nearby residents concerned for noise and helicopter activity. There were some supporters of the venture as well, but the Planning Commission, in a 4-3 vote, denied the permit. The company appealed the decision to the Assembly, claiming the Planning Commission didn't consider the heliport in the bigger plan of the lodge and how not being allowed a permit would affect that development. But on Tuesday, Scott Sundberg of Big Salmon Ventures and Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures said the two had to be considered together and that the Planning Commission didn't consider all the criteria required under a permit when it denied it. The Planning Commission did pass a motion asking the borough to allow a limited number of landings at the site and to have the borough monitor those landings for noise and nuisance. But that action perplexed the Assembly. However, Mayor Stephanie Scott reminded the group they were only deciding on the appeal at that moment. And on that point, Assembly members like Diana Lapham said she believed the company should be allowed a conditional use permit.
I find it unacceptable. It's in a general use area. He's gone through and has done everything that code requires him to do. And I don't know other than, all the people that live in that general use area are there for their freedom of doing whatever they want to do.
The mayor reminded the Assembly that 8 criteria must be met in order to grant the permit. The Assembly voted 5-1 to hear the appeal, with Joanne Waterman voting against it. The hearing will take place at the March 11th meeting. The Assembly also addressed another Planning Commission decision. The Assembly had tasked the Planning Commission with identifying borough lands within the town that might be suitable for a motorized park for things like ATVs. At its meeting, the commission decided there wasn't any property suitable for a motorized park and that it would open the borough up to too much liability. But the Assembly saw that as non-responsive. Here's Assembly Member Deborah Schnabel.
I think that it is a planning issue, and I don't think that we are necessarily asking the Planning Commission to identify a site where the borough is intending to construct a ATV or motorized park in the near future, but to identify where a location might be agreeable if we were.
The Assembly voted to send the issue back to the Planning Commission for action within the next 4 months. The Assembly also gave its final approval for the sale of 2 downtown lots to Aspen Hotels, and an ordinance allowing ATVs and snow machines on local roads and shoulders advanced. Finally, the group approved a request from the Ports and Harbor Committee to include the development of a borough-operated boat haul-out and storage area in next year's budget, approved going ahead with a wave barrier design breakwater in the plan for an expanded small boat harbor, and gave final approval for 3rd Avenue Road Project design. Sam Keito III officially became Representative Sam Keito on Wednesday. Matt Miller has a story from Juneau.
I won't bite on the first day.
That's Speaker Mike Chenault, who administered the oath of office to Keito on the House floor Wednesday morning.
I, Sam Keito III,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support.
That I will support.
Democrats in the House issued a letter on Tuesday signaling that they concur with Governor Sean Parnell's appointment. Keito was named on Friday to fill out the term of former Juneau Representative Beth Curtula, who resigned last month for a fellowship at Stanford University.
My duties as state representative.
My duties as state representative.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Congratulations, Representative.
Keito is a former civil engineer and lobbyist. On Wednesday, he introduced to his fellow lawmakers his daughter, his father, and friends, including former State Senator Albert Kukesh and former Juneau Mayor and current gubernatorial candidate Byron Mallott. After the swearing-in, the full House briefly recessed for a meeting of the Committee on Committees, which formally approved Keto's appointments to the Education Committee and Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Keto's current district includes downtown Juneau and Douglas, Skagway, Gustavus, Petersburg, and Tenakee Springs. And, starting after this year's election, District 32 will also include Haines and Clequan. Someone who has been watching the rise of Keto closely is Haines' own Bill Thomas, the former representative for some of the communities in the redrawn district. Thomas has filed to run for office this year, but hasn't yet said which office. He was watching the appointment to the House seat closely, but on Tuesday, he said he doesn't intend to run against Keto.
I'm going to support Sam. I think, you know, I'm happy with the selection. First Alaska Native that I can remember, and I go back a couple legislators before statehood, so I believe he's the first one out of here. And so I think that that's great, and it finally gives the Native community here a voice in the district. So, yeah, I don't intend on running against him unless they put some other candidates up there or something, you know. We'll see. I haven't decided. I pretty much settled looking at the Senate seat, so.
If Thomas runs for the Senate seat, he will likely face incumbent Democratic Senator Dennis Egan, who has said he will run for re-election. According to an article from the CBC and Whitehorse this week, Yukon's economic outlook is not so great. According to the story, last fall the Yukon government predicted the territory's gross domestic product would grow by nearly 9%. The same government's 2014 economic forecast released Tuesday predicts growth of around 3%. Yukon government economist Derek Hines said mineral prices are mostly to blame. When they change on a global level, they end up trickling through Yukon's economy. It's generally considered that global mineral prices weakened in the last 2 years, and there was a general slowdown in the global mining industry. Hines gives the example of the Belkino mine, which announced a shutdown last winter due to low silver prices and won't be coming back online until 2015 at the earliest. He also pointed to Minto mine, which laid off workers in January. The government's report says mineral exploration and deposit appraisal expenditures last year fell to about $85 million in Yukon. A similar range is expected this year. But $85 million is the lowest level since 2009 and well below the record estimate of $332 million for 2011. Mining companies' exploration budgets took a hit as it got harder to raise funds or find investors for exploration. The report says that's especially troublesome for junior mining companies, which are the majority of exploration companies in Yukon. But there is a bright spot in the report in regards to mining, at least for Alaska. Capstone Mining Corporation continued with its expansion of underground operations at the Minto Mine. The company estimated it spent $50 million on development last year. That alone accounts for half of all Yukon development spending. And that is good news because Capstone is a primary tenant of the Skagway Ore Terminal right now. It ships about 60,000 tons of copper concentrate annually through Skagway. And the report predicts Eagle Industrial Mineral Corporation is expected to contribute to development activities this year, another company that is planning on exporting its product through Skagway. Some politicians are critical that the Yukon government released such high forecasts last year. Yukon New Democratic Party leader Liz Hansen tells the CBC that the discrepancy is due to faulty math or an effort to mislead the public. She says just by looking at world commodity prices, it was evident the 9% growth wasn't possible. But she says, unfortunately, the recent and lower figures released by the Yukon Party government are more realistic. According to the International Monetary Fund's World Economic Outlook in January, the U.S. and Canada will both lag behind global growth predictions of 3.7% this year and 3.9% in 2015. But despite some of the bad news for mining, Yukon government predicts tourism is expected to increase slightly. Construction spending is also expected to rise in 2014 in Yukon, along with retail sales. And the forecast also says unemployment may go up a bit as the Yukon population grows faster than the economy. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources recently released its summaries of public comments taken on the Chilkoot River Corridor and its master site development plan for the area. According to Lucy Barranco with the Division of Natural Resources, 45 public comments were received. There are several issues the public weighed in on for the Chilkoot River Corridor plan, including bear viewing platforms, replacement of Lutac Bridge, the fish weir, staffing and bear monitors, parking, road enhancements, funding, fishing access, and structures. State agencies like state parks, fish and game, and the Department of Transportation address the public comments. For example, some comments suggested providing more pedestrian room and viewing areas on the Lutac Bridge. The agency response said DOT is considering replacing the bridge, and if it does, it will coordinate with parks to possibly include viewing areas. Staffing along the corridor was also addressed with public comments, mostly suggesting more staff and bear monitors are needed. State Parks responded by saying it agrees more staffing is needed, but current funding doesn't allow it. Several other issues were addressed in the response summary, including subsistence use, Deer Rock, and pedestrian use. To see all the responses, follow the link on our KHNS news page with this report. The state 2 years ago received $1 million from the state legislature for bear viewing platforms on the Chilkoot Corridor. Other improvements will probably come in phased cycles as money becomes available. According to Barranco, the site plan is awaiting the state park director's approval, and then it will go to final design, with hopes that construction could begin this year. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Matt Miller and Casey Kelly for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.